The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, he is Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Si, senor.
It is a dimly lit room, deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. Hey, everybody, what is it, Wednesday? Something like that? We're under the tutelage of our general manager.
Volodymyr Zelensky and the courageous Ukrainian people. Also, Karine Jean-Pierre.
Who the hell's that?
Karine Jean-Pierre!
Is that the new French president?
That is the new French... No, she's the new White House press secretary gal who's going to go... lie to the media when they ask her questions.
Fun job. Although everybody seems to come out of it with either a book or a TV show, so good for them, I guess.
Or, yeah, sure, gig on MSNBC. Yeah, who she is more specifically, though, you will hear over and over and over again in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Okay.
She's a very notable appointee, Jack. Very notable.
Yeah, da-da-da-da.
Woo-hoo!
How you doing? Huh? Huh?
You just excited? Super.
Excited about the day? Wow, what kind of attitude?
Do I have to be?
What kind of get-up-and-go attitude is that?
You know, I remember the wise words of Bob, the guitar player. Bob was one of the most depressed and depressive people I've ever met in my life. I played with him in a band. He worked for the welfare department, essentially. Public aid, they called it.
Wow.
In that part of Illinois where I was at the time. And we played in a rock and roll band. We'd go play cover tunes in bars, and we'd make a little money.
What was your best song, you think, at that time? Your best cover tune?
Oh, my gosh.
What would really have them tapping their feet? Or
I don't know. We played Addicted to Love. That would be, that always worked.
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun. Yeah, I can see that.
Robert Palmer.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so, but Bob, the depressive guitar player, one day, Eric, the other guitar player who ended up being a coke fiend, was like, all right, come on, let's get psyched up. Come on, let's play. And Bob said, look, if you're going to be a pro, you got to bring it every show. Doesn't matter how you feel. People paid money. You got to give them a show. So when I say, don't worry about it. I'm a professional. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to play Addicted to Love for you like I wrote it, like it's the most important thing in the world to me.
The great...
Or, you know, do talk radio.
The great Tom Tolbert, which if you're on the West Coast, you'd know him. He does a sports talk show. He used to be an NBA player. I heard him talking one time, and I thought it was just really interesting about... coaches and motivational speeches and stuff like that. You know, every once in a while, clips will come out. I think we played one the other day. Clips will come out of the NBA or the NFL or whatever, with the coach trying to fire up the players. And his view was, I don't know if all professional athletes, he said, when you're at that level, if you need to be motivated by a speech, there's something wrong. That's not what motivates people at that level. They motivate themselves. So it's really about the strategies. That whole rah-rah thing is more for the fans or whoever else, not the players. So kind of like that with your band or maybe, you know, just grown-ups in general. Yeah, I get up every day. And this is accurately so. You get up every day, you got a mortgage, you got kids, you got all these responsibilities. You've got plenty of motivation to do your best. So there you go.
Yeah. Love Mr. T, by the way. Shout out to Tommy. Yeah, I'm just speaking for myself. My motivation is that it's so humiliating and discouraging to do a bad show. I'd rather not be humiliated. So we bring it, babe.
I haven't been unemployed for quite some time, but that's not a good feeling either. So,
well, I remember it being highly stressful and sucky. Yes. Of course, people these days don't seem to mind that much. They've reassessed their lives during COVID. It's the Great Resignation or something.
So we cut promos every day after the show. We cut these little promos that run on radio stations across the country and say, hey, tune in the Armstrong and Getty Show tomorrow where we'll be talking about, you know, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We have a dog that catches frisbees and, you know, six great biscuit recipes.
And the great Michael Keaton. Yes.
But anyway, what I mentioned on the promo yesterday, and I was going to get into a little bit today, is people in their homes, for the most part, people in their homes are not talking about abortion. They're talking about inflation. And it's just that's what's on people's minds. That's what's going to move people at the ballot box come November. And the average price of a gallon of regular gasoline hit an all-time high yesterday at $4.37 a gallon. It's funny how this fell off the radar there for a while while it was climbing. It was the story every single day. It's still going up. I guess because it dipped briefly, but it is now at record highs, gas and diesel. And the diesel thing is huge because everything you buy today came on a truck running on diesel at some point. And when the diesel goes up, the price of that thing, which is everything, also goes up. But diesel and gasoline are at all-time highs in the last 24 hours.
Let me see if I can put my years of experience in this gig and my poli-sci educational work. Let's see now. The one thing that everybody's talking about is horrible for the party in power, so they and their obedient media seem to be talking about something else. Nope, can't puzzle it out. Can't figure out why they would do that.
Well, and also in their defense on that, it's the sort of thing that's very difficult to have an influence on, especially short term.
Oh, yeah. Very complicated, admittedly so. On the other hand, pouring gasoline upon a fire is not a great way to deal with that fire. And the Biden administration is unquestionably, for all the complexity of how the fire started, is unquestionably guilty of pouring gasoline upon it.
Yeah, with all those giant packages and money they printed and all that sort of stuff, no doubt.
Right, yeah.
But as far as right now, today, I think I saw 2/3 of Americans want the president to do more about inflation. What would that be exactly? What exactly?
Release another couple. That's right, sir. Release a couple of more teaspoons of oil from the strategic reserve, maybe.
Because, you know, if there the things that you can do take months or years to play out at this point, so yeah, it's a tough one.
It's mostly the Federal Reserve with both hands around our throats squeezing a little harder day after day.
Some people like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not one of them. It hurts. I'm old. Stop it.
let's start the show officially. I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It's Wednesday, May 11th, the year 2022. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
All right, let's begin officially now, according to FCC rules and regulations. Here we go at Mark.
Every single show on every single station and every time slot was titled, On Your Hands is the Blood of Thousands of Ukrainians and Hundreds of Their Murdered Children. TV and the authorities are lying. No to war.
So what, Dad?
That was Rachel Maddow, a rare appearance on our show in a positive way. She was announcing that hackers had hacked into the Russian cable TV systems, and that was the title of every single show on every channel in every time slot.
That is freaking awesome. Can I hear
play
that
it one
again?
More time, yeah. Michael? Yeah.
Every single show on every single station and every time slot was titled, On Your Hands is the Blood of Thousands of Ukrainians
wow.
and Hundreds of Their Murdered Children. TV and the authorities are lying. No to war.
Oh, my God. That
Beautiful.
Is great. I wonder if that was us, the United States, or Fuzzy Bear or Cozy Panda or whoever that is, the well-known hacker.
Unlikely, as they are loyal to the Kremlin.
Waka,
but there
waka,
are
waka.
Many.
Fuzzy Bear.
Totally different thing. There are many young Russians who are disgusted and horrified by their country's slaughter of Ukrainians. And so the independent young hackers are doing this stuff.
Think how much that would have to rattle you as Putin, though, to know that somebody had the ability to make the TV guide all across the country while you're having your big show that, in theory, everybody's watching. Say that. That is.
That's true. That was on the day of the Great Victory speech, the Great Victory Day celebration. Yeah.
God,
all the more delicious.
He looks terrible. He looks. Have you seen side by side pictures with him from just like December? I mean, he looks like a completely human being from a few months ago. And, you know, there's speculation, cancer or the COVID or whatever. I think it's just stress. I think it's just the stress of my life is over. Everything I've cared about my entire life is over. I think that's what
well,
it is.
I hope you're wrong, because you can get over stress. I'm hoping it's a dread disease.
No, well, one of the reasons he's not going to get over this stress is it's not going to end in his lifetime. If he's got his wits about him at all, he knows this is over. I have made the biggest mistake any world leader has made in maybe centuries, certainly in many, many decades. And as far as our country, I've ruined it. I've ruined the military. Yeah. I've ruined our prestige around the world. I've ruined the economy. I've ruined my thing. So, yeah, I can't imagine what that feels like if he is fully acknowledging it. You know, if you read Shakespeare or whatever, there's a tendency among the powerful to put that out of their mind when they've made that sort of mistake.
Yeah, he looks like the sort of, he's at the point that it's washed over him and it's no longer possible to keep it at arm's length. You could well be right.
God, he looks terrible. And just the expression on his face is like, I was going to give a really horrible example, but like he just got some really bad news about something very crucial. Well, he has probably all day, every day, gotten some really bad news about something crucial.
Yeah, there he sat, blank-faced, bloated, dead-eyed, with a blanket over his lap at the Victory Day celebrations, looking pathetic.
Well, and I got to believe he was somehow in his mind comparing and contrasting the last 22 years that he sat there on that day for that parade, and just, you know, the welling up with pride and nationalism, and the we're so powerful, and there's our rockets and our guys marching in line and everything like that. And now he knows the reality of they won't fight, and most of them have been stealing from me, and those rockets don't work. I mean, that would be a completely different feeling.
Read my mind. Yeah, what seemed to be a great display of the awesome power of the Russian military now is just a farce. It's a hollowed out, corrupt paper tiger or something close to it. Yeah. And he's literally having that waved in his face at that Victory Day parade.
God, if you're listening, prove you're here. Have him keel over with a heart attack today.
I think the Old Testament says you're not supposed to do that.
Not supposed to do what?
You're not supposed to, like, tell God to smite people for you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a don't.
Well, I'm going to give it a whirl. See how it works out for me. How does Mailbag look?
Oh, it's actually terrific.
You listen to that show where the host asks God to smite people? That's funny. More on the way. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Elon gave an interview yesterday, said he'll allow Trump back on Twitter, which I think you gotta. I think that's obviously, but anyway, more on that later.
Yeah, indeed. And boy, we have a lot of great stuff to talk to, including introducing you to the brand new press secretary and her charms and her beliefs. Yikes. Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. It's a little long, but it's brilliant. We're not going to get to much mailbag. Maybe we can do some bonus mailbag later in the half hour. Sent along by Paul, a wonderful quote from John Stuart Mill in his masterpiece on liberty. He was explaining the inherent problems with government schools, even before it was an enormous thing. He wrote, "A general state education is a mere contrivance for molding people to be exactly like one another. And as the mold in which it casts them is which pleases the predominant power in the government, it establishes a despotism over their mind, leading by natural tendency to one over the body." A despotism over the body, in other words. Children's attitudes and values will have been changed so that they'll gladly give up the rights and protections of the Constitution, writes Paul, and comply with the dictates of the global sustainability, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I would tend to agree. One of the main roles of schools is to indoctrinate.
I was in a conversation with
government schools, I should say.
I was in a conversation with someone yesterday, and the government schools vary a lot. So a family that had moved from California public schools to Texas public schools and saying, you can't believe how different it is. It's shocking. I thought that's interesting.
I know it is. Yeah. Here's your mailbag. Speaking of that sort of thing, you can email us mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. Nice note here from Laura. Sunday, we were at a packed grocery store picking up the few things on the shelves. My 5-year-old could not stand still while we were at the deli counter, and she was ready to go to our Mother's Day party. As she was bouncing off the aisle displays, I shouted, "Control your soul's desire for freedom."
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
That's awesome.
It did as much good as that drone telling the starving people in China to calm down anyway, Owen to.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
We've mentioned this many times. Has it ever worked to tell somebody who's all wound up to calm down? Has that ever helped anything ever? I found myself doing it with my son yesterday, and I thought to myself, that's not going to do anything.
From age 3 to 103. Useless.
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
There you go.
Will do. In response... I'm sorry, JT writes, in response to mobs attempting to intimidate SCOTUS justices in their home and the subsequent Georgetown professor's tweets that about mobs that are right get to do that, mobs that are wrong clearly don't, I have a perfect solution. Let's create a board of independent, wise, and knowledgeable people to adjudicate which mobs are right and which are wrong. Mm. Initially, I'd suggest 9 adjudicators, probably with black lobes to lend a visual seriousness. Powdered wigs optional. They should have lifetime appointments so said adjudicators would not feel public or political pressure to rule one way or the other. And since this is such an important critical leadership role, I further propose that the POTUS nominate people to this adjudication board, and the Senate must give their advice and consent to each nominee. We could call it by a lofty name, such as the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Yeah, that is really, really clever. That is brilliant. That should be in a national publication. That is so good.
Yeah, that is really, really good. I also have some ideas about forming a government of 3 co-equal branches of government that use an interlocking system of checks and balances to allocate power between the 3 branches. And if you think that sounds wacky, I also have some ideas about bringing outhouses into the residence by use of clever plumbing.
But on the Supreme Court thing, that's an example of so many different things, whether it's news fact checkers or whatever you want. Look, the most deliberative attempt we have in the entire country to try to come to some sort of consensus over is this right or wrong, is the slow-moving, complicated process of the Supreme Court, and we're still at people's throats over their decisions. So acting like there's such thing as a fact checker that knows, or a body that can determine what's right or wrong on Twitter or whatever, is obviously insane.
Right. Another quick note to squeeze in. Lori joins many, many people in assessing that our appraisal of the infamous baseball play-by-play clip that we discussed in yesterday's One More Thing podcast, that we were dead wrong.
Could be.
Listeners were unanimous. We'll talk more about that in the obscenity-laced podcast. I was ashamed of it.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
A giant 40-some billion-dollar package passed the House very easily. Lots of bipartisan support yesterday to give more arms and aid to Ukraine. Now it's headed to the Senate, and there's some discussion going on there, but more on that later.
Yeah, I've heard it might slow down a bit in the Senate, but I don't know much about that.
So. Oh, and Apple has pulled the plug on the iPod after several decades, and we'll take a look back at the humble iPod.
I was just about to run out and buy one.
My son loves his iPod.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, well, it's a wonderful invention, honestly.
When I bought my first iPhone, the reason I bought the iPhone is they said this is the best iPod we've ever made. And I didn't have an iPod, and I thought, okay, I'll have a phone, an iPod, and one. Little knowing it was going to dominate my life and everybody else's going forward.
Yeah. Speaking of that sort of thing, those of us in the news junkie demographic are acutely aware, generally, of who the press secretary is. It was Jen Psaki for quite some time. She's retiring now to become a cable news shouter on MSNBC, which is a good fit. You could go, a normal person could go their entire life only dimly aware of who the press secretary is. And frankly, if you're looking for an addiction and you're considering a news addiction, why don't you try crack instead? I mean, if Hunter Biden can get clean, so can you. See if you like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Before you become a news addict. It's depressing and makes you angry all the time.
And you don't learn anything.
But anyway, the new press secretary is a gal by the name of Karine Jean-Pierre. Is there anything we should know about her?
First, as you all know, she will be the first black woman, the first out LGBTQ plus person to serve in this role.
The first black woman and out gay person to speak for the president.
Becoming the first black woman and LGBTQ person.
The first black woman, first openly gay person.
The first black woman, the first openly gay person.
The first black person, first openly gay person.
Becoming the first black person and first openly LGBTQ person to serve as White House press secretary.
Okay, and you know, fine. So great. The best thing about that to me is then the next, once we get all the categories taken care of, then we can just hire whoever we think is best and discuss them based on how good they are, I hope.
You naive fool, please. I was just going to say, if you're a black gay woman who's blind, there are still plenty of headlines waiting for you. You can go deeper and deeper. That's the intersectionality thing. There's always another layer, always. But anyway, other than being that, what sort of woman is she? What are her attitudes? What is she? Does she have a good, fair view of the press? How about clip 21, Michael?
Was racist before coronavirus. They are racist during the coronavirus. Fox News
Fox
will be
News.
Racist after the coronavirus. So there is nothing new here. I think the difference is they have been, they are all in on being state TV for Donald Trump. And so they will continue to give them misinformation. The danger is, so yes, you have Asian Americans right now whose lives are seriously in danger. And you have their own viewers who can now, the ones who are 60 and older who are watching. This is a health crisis that we're in. This is a global pandemic, as the WHO has said, and they're putting their lives in danger. And so that is where we are right now, is the danger that Fox News is now, what they're putting out there is going to hurt people and not help them.
So one of her main characteristics is that she's a full-on woke lunatic who calls absolutely everything racist.
So the person that is going to stand up there, the press secretary, deals with the press. And her view is that the only cable news channel that's not lefty is racist propaganda for racist viewers. Well, that's handy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She thinks virtually everything's racist. Tucker Carlson had his staff go to her Twitter feed through the years and see if she has identified anything as not racist, and they couldn't find anything. But he says, here's a non-exhaustive sample that we compiled of racist people and things, according to the new press secretary. John Cornyn is racist. Joe Arpaio is racist. Border walls, needless to say, are racist. Roseanne Barr, for some reason, is racist. The name Pocahontas is racist. Despite it was an actual American Indian name, Mike Huckabee seems nice, but he's racist. Federal government shutdowns don't seem to have anything to do with race, but they're racist too. Donald Trump was racist, of course. Jeff Sessions, also racist. Brexit, again, not connected to race, but it doesn't mean it's not racist. Brexit was racist. Ed Gillespie, former Senate candidate in Virginia, racist. Ron DeSantis, absolutely racist. Steve Bannon, racist. Sebastian Gorka, racist. And you know who's most racist of all? Republicans who criticized Ralph Northam for wearing blackface in a Klan outfit. If you're racist, you notice racism as long as the racist is a Democrat. And also, as usual, ice cream and Shakespeare are racist, too.
I don't know how people who do the whole this is racist, that is racist don't understand that that's watering down the term and making everybody roll their eyes whenever there's actual racism. But, God dang it, could you pick somebody to be the press secretary that's not part of the half of the country's racist group of political thinking out there?
Right, absolutely. And here's another thing that's incredibly racist, according to America's new press secretary. It's voter ID laws. Any of them. Now, you'll find voter ID laws in every country on the planet, including in Africa, but that doesn't make them any less racist. Ms. Jean-Pierre said, and I quote, in order to get these voter suppression laws, besides gutting the Voting Rights Act, you also got to get your people in there to put these awful laws in place. I'm so glad that the Georgia issue is being talked about almost every day now. This was a while ago. It's getting national attention, needs to, because what's happening is pure racism. Just to restate, voter ID laws, which the majority of black Americans are in favor of, are, what was the phrase? Pure racism. And go ahead if you have a comment.
Well, I had the tweets yesterday that I never got to about her claiming Stacey Abrams, the election was stolen. So she's a person who believes that elections...
that's what I have right in front of me, yep.
But she's a person that's willing to say elections are stolen. I find it hard to believe that the White House knew what they were getting here. I think it's just like that disinformation czar that they hired for DHS the other day, that then they saw the tweets and thought, yeah, we didn't know this stuff. I'll bet that's the same case here. There's no way.
They don't vet these people?
There's no way they thought this was a good idea. There's no way. This is going to be a disaster for them.
If you hire an assistant manager for your grocery store, you go through their Twitter feed.
Of course you do, but they hired a disinformation czar that had all kinds of tweets out there that made her look like a whack job.
Yeah, yeah. Reminder, quote, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams. She said something similar 4 years, but that was in 2020. She said something similar in 2016. Again, we're quoting stolen emails, stolen drone. Nobody knows what she meant by that. Stolen election. Welcome to the world of hashtag unpresident Trump. Yep. Stolen election, conspiracy theories, the rest of it. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And obviously, it goes without saying that if you claim elections aren't real on the other side, you're some sort of terrorist that the FBI should be watching, but. I don't know. This it's a hell of an interesting play. If they knew her background to make her the press secretary, because I think she's going to say some things once she gets comfortable in the job and starts, you know, running her mouth up there. She's going to say some things that's going to cause them all kinds of problems.
All right. Let me hit you with a little realpolitik, Jack, and you comment whether you think I've got this nailed or not. The doyens, the leaders, the brain trust of the Democratic Party have said to themselves, we never had Republicans. We've lost independents. And those poll numbers are overwhelming, by the way, folks, if you're not familiar with this. And the only good we can do at this point is to solidify our base. And then after the elections, we go to rebuilding the party and figuring out what the hell we're in favor of.
That's interesting.
That's got to be what they're doing. They've given up on independence for this election cycle.
It could be. And you know, that might be a good strategy, actually.
Yeah, it might be smart. I don't know enough about it. But, I mean, like the recent flap about abortion, a point we've made many, many times, if you are looking at the bulk of Americans, the mass, the huge mass of Americans, most people have very, very moderate views on abortion. Don't like it at all, but first trimester, we get it. It's the woman's body. After that, it's abhorrent. I mean, the vast majority of Americans think that. So why would you be hammering the whole handmaid's tale dressed lunatics disrupting Catholic church services, bothering Supreme Court justices, children and neighbors, screeching your nonsense? Why would you go with that? It's awful to the bulk of Americans, but it's just sweet, sweet honey to the base.
Well, Senator Durbin, Democrat and chair of one of the committees that matters on this, said protests outside the Supreme Court justices' homes are reprehensible. So I was glad to hear that among some leading Democrats yesterday, because it is reprehensible, and we all need to stop it. We all need to stop going to people's homes and protesting outside their houses while they're in eating dinner with their families.
Amen. Amen to that.
Not cool.
The unspoken threat of, and this is an old one, I know where you live.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
People only say that for one reason, clearly.
Yeah, the idea that that's not threatening is it, come on, who are you trying to kid? I have some interesting economic news that has just broken in the last few minutes from around the world. Economic news from around the world. And also what Elon said yesterday, which has got people, I don't know what's got people, it's got people riled up. I think in completely wrong ways, but we'll lay that out for you, among other things, on the way.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I do think that it was not correct to ban Donald Trump. I think that was a mistake because it alienated a large part of the country and did not ultimately result in Donald Trump not having a voice.
So Elon Musk yesterday on some forum where he's actually talking about electric cars got asked, of course, about Donald Trump. There has never been anybody with more gravity on this planet than Donald Trump, maybe Jesus post-death. Other than that, there's never been a name that influences more everything. Everybody's just lifestyle, actions, what you wear, what you drive, how you treat your kids, the medicines you take. I mean, it's just...
Whether you allowed your children to play with their friends during COVID.
Elon Musk at a forum to talk about electric cars. First question, of course. Will Donald Trump be back on Twitter? Anyway, so he answers the question and says, yeah, it was a bad decision to kick him off and I would allow him back on, although there's no indication Trump wants to come back on. I agree with him. The idea of having a former president who is probably the leading contender to be the nominee in one of the two major parties for next year, trying to kind of half silence him. As Elon Musk went on to say yesterday, the people that are really into Donald Trump are still hearing every single word. Is there any reason why the people who aren't really into hearing Donald Trump don't want to easily access what he has to say? You don't want to know what he's saying to people?
Wow, so well said. What a great point.
Yeah. And actually, I was watching MSNBC, and Joe Scarborough's view was, put him on there. That'll be the best thing for Democrats, and it'd be horrible for Republicans. So I don't know if that's true or not, but some pundits who don't like Trump think it would be to their advantage to have more of Trump's words out there.
Well, and it's worth pointing out that those who have the time and energy went on Twitter yesterday and outed the utterly reprehensible calls for violence against Supreme Court justices and calls for more, activism outside their houses and the rest of it, pointed out how that was so squarely, undeniably, I mean, like, writ large against all of Twitter's policies. Twitter let it go because they're on that side politically. So the idea that the banning of Donald Trump was somehow an exercise of their carefully calibrated and wise rules, it's just a pile of steaming horse caca.
Right. In other news, the latest inflation numbers are out, and I'm sure the current administration will spin this as hard as they can, and that inflation slowed down last month for the first time in quite a while, but it's still at 40-year record highs. But it did slow down a little bit. So, you know, that's good news. And if over time we see a trend of it starting to reverse, that'd be fantastic. Inflation edged down in April to 8.3% annual rate, dropping for the first time in 8 months. But, again, remained near a four-decade high, and 8.3%, I don't know if you're planning on getting around a 9% raise this year, but if you aren't, you're going backwards in terms of how much money you have.
Boy, the idea that it's down to 8.3% annually, hooray!
Yeah. Germany out with numbers similar, and for them, they're a little behind us, and it is the highest number they've had in many, many decades. So there's another one of the world's leading economies suffering great inflation. Wow, things are expensive. I got to believe this is true for everyone. I feel like I get hit with a dose of wow, things are expensive every single day, at least once. Every day, whether it's gassing up the car or the grocery store or whatever I'm doing. Oh, buying an airline flight. Flying my son to Texas and back to visit his friend. What? No. I must have typed in the wrong number. He's not going to Europe first class. He's just flying to Austin, Texas on a nonstop flight, you know, and a day that's not a holiday. What? So everything is just so expensive right now.
Yeah, wow, brutal. And I had become aware fairly late in the game of the acute baby formula shortage, too. I guess folks are panicking.
40% of baby formula brands are out of stock right now. 40%. I don't have a baby anymore, but if I did, I would. I've never hoarded anything in my life. Never once during any shortage or anything have I ever, like, bought more toilet paper or whatever. I'm not a planner. But if I had a baby, I would be buying lots of baby formula.
Uh-oh, panic buying.
I would be super worried about that.
Yeah, how scary.
40% of the brands are completely gone. And that's a worldwide thing, right?
So I understand, yeah. There's some talk about the FDA and the somebody else weighing in the ag department and getting it loosened up, but I honestly don't know what the roadblocks are.
Now, as I move from stuff I barely understand to things I don't understand at all in the world of economics, one of your cryptocurrencies, one of your categories of cryptocurrencies that I just learned about roughly 15 minutes ago, called Stablecoin, which was an attempt to come up with a cryptocurrency that's not as wildly fluctuating as the early ones have been. As everyone knows, they've been skyrocketing and falling and skyrocketing and falling. And what's the biggest one? Bitcoin.
Bitcoin
has lost half its value in the last couple of months. Well, one of your stable coins, the breed of cryptocurrencies that had gained favor among traders because it's, as the name says, supposed to be more stable, has dropped off a cliff. less than a quarter of its value today. It's at less than a quarter of its top value today, just all of a sudden. So stable coin, so there'll have to be a new category called "This time we mean it, stablecoin," or "No, we're not kidding you, stablecoin."
Rock solid coin.
Right, yeah. No, this time we've figured it out, stablecoin. Those of you who've taken the time to figure these out and are actually trading them and everything like that, good for you. I'll bet it's a lot of fun, but I have not delved into it.
Well, now is the time to buy, though. I'm tempted to dig through my couch to find some spare change and see if I could buy some what do you call it, cryptocurrency?
Because you know, bit or stable or Doge, which one are you going with?
Maybe Ethereum. It's kind of the vice president of cryptocurrencies. It's kind of the second tier guy or second place guy, as I understand it. But you know, it's wild speculation. Honestly, it's betting on horses at the Kentucky Derby. It's not investing per se. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it skyrockets up. I cash in and go buy myself something little, something shiny. Who knows? I don't know.
You got to
make me feel pretty.
You got to admit, it's kind of entertaining when something called stablecoin that was invented primarily to not go up and down drops all of a sudden to a quarter of its value.
No, I don't see your point at all. You know, I was going to quote Warren Buffett's famous saying, which I love so much, when everybody else is greedy, I get scared. And when everybody else is scared, I get greedy. But when it comes to cryptocurrency, I'd go ahead and just be scared.
be scared and stop it scared. Like there's a guy outside your house with a machete. That kind of scared.
Stay scared. Yeah.
If you miss an hour of the show, you can get the podcast. It's called Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.